Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. For this morning's message, I would like for you, if you would follow along, to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I want to read the first six verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul writes these words: "Now I, Paul myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as though we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." I want to try to talk about this subject this morning. I want to try to preach the gospel to you with this subject in mind. And listen to me now. Hear this. Here's my title. This is my subject: Conquered. Conquered by Christ's obedience. To you, if you're listening to me this morning, have you ever been conquered by Christ's obedience? Have you ever, in hearing the gospel preached, God Almighty has brought you down to the bow, to the feet of Jesus Christ? I know some of you have probably walked the aisle. I know some of you probably prayed the sinner's prayer. I know you may have joined the church and were baptized. Some of you were probably in great immoral decadence and you've repented and you changed your way of living. But that's not the salvation God purposed in Christ, by Christ, to Christ, and to be subject unto Christ. You see, the salvation that God Almighty has purposed and has accomplished by Christ at Calvary, and is accomplishing in time by the preaching of the gospel, is to conquer men and women, boys and girls, black or white, young or old, rich or poor, male or female. Is the preaching of the gospel will conquer the hearts and minds of people and bring them into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Hear me now. Today's professed Christianity. Hear me now. Today's professed Christianity is, at best, historically accurate. It is religiously zealous. It is works-oriented. It is immorality-rejecting. But it is completely devoid of subjection to Christ's obedience. And again, look at it. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, not to obey Christ, but to the obedience of Christ. God conquers men and women by the power of His Spirit and through the preaching of the gospel. God conquers men and women and causes them to bow in subjection and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God is not trying to get you to be a Christian. God is conquering men and women. God is conquering boys and girls. God is conquering black and white, rich and poor. God is conquering people to bow to the authority of His beloved Son. Therefore, God is not in this business today of educating people into the kingdom. You do not educate people into the kingdom. They are translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. They are delivered from the power of darkness by the power of God, and they are translated into the kingdom. That means He's the King on the throne, into the kingdom of His dear Son. Nope. He is conquering a people who are lovingly, willingly, gladly submitting themselves to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And listen, what the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the church at Philippi. An astounding passage. Philippians chapter 2. Listen to these verses. Philippians chapter 2. I'll read the first 16 verses. And listen to what Paul writes. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, and there is, but the if here is it really in you? Is it really in me? If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain that is empty glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now look at it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's his first emphasis. But now listen, he's going to talk about the mind of Christ Jesus. And listen, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, God's purpose, God's intent, is to bow men and women down to the person and the work of His Son. And he goes on, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And here's why. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You see, it's not dependent on your will, but it's dependent upon God working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You see, Jesus Christ is the thing, He is the person that God delights in all of the universe. God will have His Son honored. Those who refuse, those who rebel, will justly perish under the condemnation of a holy God. And those who are saved, those who are being converted by the gospel, are being bowed down to the authority of God's blessed Son, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear me now. Hear me now. When God saves anyone, hear what I said. When God saves anyone, God pulls down their castle. When God saves anyone, God Almighty pulls down their place of stronghold. And I go back to my text, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And listen to what he says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Somebody says, I don't see God doing that much. He's doing it as much as he purposed to do before the world began. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down, that is this mighty power of God Almighty, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And someone may say to me, you may be thinking within yourself, I will never bow to Jesus Christ. You will if God assaults your castle. You will if God Almighty attacks you in mercy and grace. And He will break down your citadel. He will break down your walls. He will break down your strongholds. He will break down your will. And He will put within you His will, both the will and to do of His good pleasure. And you will bow down to the authority of King Jesus. You see, be it morality, be it a religious profession, be it a man or woman's own beliefs, God will conquer those things. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if God set His love on you in Christ before the world began, God will have you. God will bow you down. And you can turn that TV off and that dial, or hit that button and turn it off right now, but you won't be able to get away from God. You might get away from me. You might turn me off. You might never listen to me again. But God Almighty will have you. And He'll send somebody to you preaching the gospel, and it will conquer your soul. You see, God also, every time He saves, every time He converts by the gospel, He puts men and women in the dust. What they think, because they think thoughts against who God really is. And that's what He goes on to say, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen what the prophet Isaiah wrote. And if you're following along, turn to Isaiah chapter 55 and think about what this says. Isaiah chapter 55, and listen to what it says. Let me begin in just in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. And this is serious. And this is very serious admonition. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Why? Because our way is wrong by nature. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. But then listen to what God says here, through the prophet Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, God is superior to us. We are but dust and ashes in this world. We are but by nature rebels against God, but God has purposed to conquer some rebels. God's purpose to bring down some rebels. God's purpose to bring down and bring a man to abase a man before He ever lifts a man up. See, before God ever makes you alive, God's going to kill you first. And I mean that spiritually. Before God ever exalts you with the glory of Jesus Christ, before you ever believe in Him, God's going to abase you and put you down first. Because our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. But it's more than that. Listen to what God goes on to say through the prophet Isaiah. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, you see, the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Listen at it now. Here it is. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. You see, if God is pleased to bring the truth to you, just to add the more condemnation to your rebellion and your unbelief and your ungodliness, then God will do that by His Word. But if God is pleased to show you mercy and compassion, He will send that same gospel, that same truth, the truth of the glory of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And He'll bring that message to you in the power of the Spirit of God. He will convince you of sin. He will convince you of righteousness. He will convince you of judgment. And He will knock down your castle walls. He will march in through King Jesus. And He will put you in the dust, bowing down lovingly, willingly, conscientiously to Jesus Christ the Lord. You see, all disobedience to who God really is actually ripe fruit for full retaliation against. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Somebody says, I don't like that kind of preaching, neither did I one time. But God came in and knocked down my castle walls. You may say, well, I don't like that message. I understand I didn't like it one time either. But God Almighty knocked down my castle walls. And I'm here to tell you that if God Almighty's chosen you in Christ before the world began, He will march in, knock down your walls. His weapons will bring you to bow in obedience, in submission to Jesus Christ's obedience. Listen again. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of a stronghold, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity all to be a captive of the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that most people have no idea what I'm talking about. But if God Almighty ever conquers you, you'll be glad. You'll be glad. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. How do you do that? You just keep preaching the truth. You just keep preaching the truth. You just keep talking about Jesus Christ the Lord. You keep talking about what He accomplished, what He actually did when He came into this world, when He lived, and when He suffered, and when He died, and when He was buried, when He rose again, when He ascended back to the Father's right hand, and He is there now, reigning over all the universe, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You see, all disobedience to who God really is ripe fruit for full retaliation against. It is to be squashed until obedience is complete. Has God squashed your way? Has He squashed your thoughts? Has God Almighty conquered your soul? I pray He does. But I tell you this, it's up to Him. He can leave you to yourself. He can just give you a good job. Give you a nice spouse, give you nice children, have a nice home, have plenty of food in your belly, have plenty of clothes on your back. He gives you nice vacations every year, and you go on thinking, oh, I'm really blessed. And God just leaves you to yourself. He'll leave your castle wall standing, and you will perish in your rebellion against Him. But if He's pleased to bow you down, He will bow you down. All disobedience will be squashed by God when God is pleased to squash it. Here is salvation. Here is salvation. You hear what I'm saying? Here is salvation. God, by the preaching of His gospel, He smashes everything we see as important to us, and He bows us to the vital necessity of His Son's obedience. My last passage, Psalm chapter 2. If you're still with me, turn to Psalm chapter 2. And I want you to read along if you have your Bible. Psalm chapter 2, and listen to what the psalmist writes in this chapter. What an amazing passage. Psalm chapter 2. Here's what is written in the second psalm. Psalm chapter 2. I will read the whole chapter. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. That's the Christ of God. And against His anointed, that's Jesus of Nazareth. And against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We will not have this man reign over us, is what they're saying. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Do you see that? This is God, folks. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Well, I'll never bow, and maybe you won't. But you've not touched God. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Listen to me. This is a fearful thing for me to have to say, but it's true. God Almighty will mock when your calamity comes, according to Proverbs chapter 1. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. You want your way? You want your thoughts? God may give that to you, but you ain't got God over a barrel. You don't have God around the neck. God Almighty controls you. Yet, He goes on in verse 6, yet I have set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son. This is the Father speaking to the Son. This is God the Father speaking to God the Son. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. You will not stop God when He's pleased to conquer someone. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and with rejoicing and with trembling. Kiss the Son. And this, I am told in the Hebrew, is not a kiss, especially like Judas gave Him a kiss upon the cheek. This is to kiss His feet when you bow down before Him. This is to kiss His feet. This is to adore Him. It is to worship Him. It is to believe Him. It is to serve Him. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. So again, I ask you this. Here is the salvation. Here is the salvation. God, by the preaching of His gospel, He smashes everything that we see as important to us, and He bows us to the vital necessity of His Son's obedience. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? You see, again, I cannot emphasize this too much, because there is so much contrary to it being said in our day and age, on the radio, on TV, on the internet. God is not trying to get anyone to be a Christian. God is not up in heaven wringing His hands, waiting for someone to let Him have His way. The great king of Israel, David, said this, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. So again I say, God is not trying to get you to be a Christian. God is conquering men and women. Young or old, black or white, rich or poor. God Almighty is conquering people. He has conquered them to specifically bow down in faith, in love, to the authority of His beloved Son. Therefore, God is not in this thing today of just trying to educate you into the kingdom. I'm not here trying to teach you certain doctrines. I am here declaring unto you that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ accomplished salvation when He died on that cross for the people for whom He died on that cross. God Almighty ascending forth His Spirit and His gospel into the world, and He, by the preaching of that gospel, is conquering men and women and bowing them down to kiss the feet of His beloved Son. This book is clear. As Paul says, I'll read it to you one last time. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, a saved person, a person that's truly been regenerated by the Spirit of God and converted by the gospel of God, their heart and minds are constantly thinking about who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus Christ accomplished when He came into this world, where He is now, and what He is doing on behalf of His people. But let me tell you, God is also going to one day put all of humanity under the feet of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will have His honor and glory magnified by God the Father throughout all the world, because Jesus Christ is the only real important thing to God the Father in this world. So again, I say, here's salvation. God, by the preaching of His gospel, He is smashing to pieces everything that fallen man holds most dear. He's smashing to pieces our aisle walkings, our religiousness, our zeal, our works-oriented religion, our morality. Do not rest in your own morality. Your morality nor my morality is fit for the presence of God Almighty. Only Christ is. And only those who are accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ will be accepted by God the Father. So again I say, have you been conquered by Christ's obedience? That's the question. Have you been conquered by Christ's obedience? Has God brought His truth to you in such a way that it's bowed you down to the authority of Jesus Christ? I do pray that that is so. Now, let me give you a reminder. On this same TV station, WVVACW, every Sunday at 12 noon, you can hear a portion of one of our recorded Sunday morning messages. And I would encourage you to tune in and listen to one of those messages.